This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bill Raggio, my colleague and co-host. He's a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, keeps the Long War Journal, where you can see David O's reporting routinely. David is a member of the FTD as well, helping us understand the stories from the war around Israel, all eyes on Ukraine, and that's influencing a lot of footsteps this morning and for the next days and weeks. However, we begin with a continuation of the struggle that has been underway since 23, which is the war north with Hezbollah, the war south with Hamas, the war east with the remnants of the Hamas and the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine and other gangs in the West Bank. And we could count the ways of all the enemies, but let's begin in Lebanon north. David, a very good evening to you. That what we have here is a headline written by you and Bill, Israel eliminates Hezbollah's top military commander, Haitham Ali Tabatabi, in a targeted Beirut strike. Israel's prime minister says his hands were soaked, the dead man's hands were soaked in the blood of many Israelis and Americans. Who was he? And is this a break in the what appeared to be the holding action in the south? Have we started a new offensive against Hezbollah? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, it's actually Bill and our esteemed colleague Joe Truesman who wrote this up. So that was in their very capable hands. Who was Ali Tabatabi? He's one of Hezbollah's veterans. It seems like he was born in 1968. At Hezbollah's emergence on the scene in 1982, he was about 14, if my math is mapping. So he probably joined Hezbollah sometime in the mid to late 1980s, which makes him part of what Hezbollah would call the founding generation, maybe like the tail end of the founding generation. And since then, there's a man who rose in Hezbollah's ranks, assuming different command, significant command posts. After Ahmad Mumia was assassinated by, as time would reveal, an Israeli Mossad and CIA operation in Damascus, it seems like he took over the creation and development of the Radwan force. According to Hezbollah's biography, he oversaw operations against what they call the Takfiri jihadists, right? The Sunni Islamist terrorist groups, Nusra Front ISIS on Lebanon's eastern border with Syria. According to the Israelis, he was actually involved in Syria itself, in operations in Syria itself, and helping Hezbollah entrench itself in Syria. When the October 7th war started, he was a critical commander of operations during the war of attrition phase. So this is the phase that started October 8th of 2023, and that lasted until September 16th or 17th, roughly, when Israel executed its deeper operation against Hezbollah. So during that phase, and then, you know, his colleagues started dropping like flies, right? Because the Israelis wipe out the Radwan force command. They'd taken out Fuad Shukr earlier. So he moved after that to, increasingly command operations in what Hezbollah is calling Ulil Ba's, right? The Ulil Ba's battle, the active conflict stage of the war that began mid to late September. Now, after the war ended, November 27, 2024, he's been appointed the de facto chief of staff of Hezbollah's military forces. Seems like, according to the IDF and Hezbollah, according to Galetzal, which is the IDF radio, it seems like he was sharing these military command responsibilities with a man named Mohammed Haidar, And Hamad Haidar was a former senior security advisor to Nasrallah, in charge of security military affairs in the south. Big guy in Hezbollah. And I would say one of Tabatabai's potential successors for Hezbollah chief of staff. Now, what does this mean? Is this a new phase? Is it a continuation? As you know, John, Israel's been striking at Hezbollah since, you know, the ceasefire goes into effect November 27, 2024. The Israelis start hitting on November 28th, 2024, because Hezbollah has demonstrated at no point any intention to disarm. They've made it very clear, we're not disarming. They've talked about, you know, disarming south of the Litani River. But if if anyone is to look at my trackers on LWJ, you'll notice that every week consistently there are Hezbollah operatives, Hezbollah assets that are destroyed south of the Litani River. And the IDF describes these personnel, these assets as being part of Hezbollah's regeneration efforts. So it's not just, you know, Hezbollah he happened to be buying lunch south of the Litani River. He's doing something to rebuild Hezbollah's capability south of the Litani River. And what the Israelis have been saying now for a month is, so the Lebanese aren't acting. The Lebanese government has made it very clear in different ways that, you know, action's not on the table. They're doing symbolic gestures, talking about containing Hezbollah's weapons. This is basically, you know, putting some kind of cordon on certain parts of Hezbollah's arsenal and hoping it'll rust, except Hezbollah has a domestic productions capability. They can build drones, and they're leaning a lot into drone construction. They still have channels to get weapons and funds through Syria and different places. And the Israelis are saying, okay, so Lebanon's not acting. We're striking at a certain tempo. And this kind of dovetails actually with something Naim Qassem, the Secretary General of Hezbollah, said in July, if not mistaken, that Hezbollah's regeneration efforts are now outpacing Israel's targeting and operations, right? Its degradation efforts. So the Israelis are finally admitting this. I think the admission started coming in sometime in mid to late October. And there's been one recommendation after the next to the cabinet, including the Wednesday, this last Wednesday before Tabatabai was killed, that Israel needs to expand operations, including to places that it was not touching. So with Beirut, they haven't touched Beirut since June of 2025, and certainly not targeting an actor this big. So this is unprecedented since the ceasefire, which suggests that Israel is saying, you know, this is a situation that is becoming intolerable, right? Tabatabai and Haidar were not only overseeing military command, they were overseeing military regeneration efforts and restoring the battle readiness of Hezbollah's individual units, most of Hezbollah's individual units. So the Israelis are trying to go after the guy who's leading the regeneration efforts in an effort to stall it, to slow it down, so that it's so that Israel's ongoing operations can have more of an impact and perhaps avoid war. Because if this continues, Hezbollah's regeneration continues, at a certain point, the Israelis are going to, continuous expansion, right? At a certain point, it's going to cross the threshold from what we've been seeing over the past year to something more escalatory.
Could you characterize regeneration? Do you mean arms? Do you mean new recruiting? Do you mean money? Or all of the above?
All of the above. So, we're seeing from the statements the Israelis are putting out, from Lebanese media reports, the more honest ones at least, so Hezbollah is importing arms, like the channels of arms importation that came through Syria have been constrained with the Assad regime's downfall. But because Syria is still in a chaotic stage, because the Syrian authorities have not consolidated control over their country, this is allowing seams to continue to exist that Hezbollah and Iran continue exploiting. And they are. Again, Hezbollah's domestic productions capability. They have long had the ability to produce short range, the Katyusha rockets, right? They can produce these domestically. Hezbollah is leaning a lot into drones, because what we saw during the last war was Israel does not have an answer to drone swarms. I don't think any military does at this point. So drones are cheap. You can manufacture them locally. You can buy the parts off of off the internet, and you can do this under the radar. So we see that we see Hezbollah bringing in funds. I think there was a report that came in from Shakl al-Sat right after the ceasefire, so November 28th, 2024, that Iran had sent Hezbollah $1 billion for regeneration efforts. And it seems like I saw a report, I think yesterday, the day before, that Hezbollah has received another $1 billion over the course of the past year since the beginning of 2025. So this isn't everything, but it's something. Right. And that's, I guess, what's been caught by U.S. intel or by allied intel agencies. Hezbollah has many, many ways of fundraising. There's channels of funding in these same Lebanese reports that talked about the channels of rearmament through Syria, cash flowing in through the border through those same seams, and they're reaching Hezbollah. There's also the active effort to rebuild military installations. So again, what the Israelis keep saying, and all after all these strikes, that they're killing someone or they're hitting something, is this is something that has been recently rebuilt after the war. This is a site that has been recently restored. The IDF, the most dramatic instance, they put out an infographic video on Beit Lif. This is a village in South Lebanon, if I'm not mistaken, in the Bint Jebel district of the Nabatiya governorate. So in South Lebanon, south of the Litani River, showing that Hezbollah has basically reestablished several military posts, including underground installations, including weapon storage facilities, including command posts in Beit Lif. In this case, there's a Ghanaian battalion of UNIFIL position or base in Beit Lif, and in some cases these positions are near hundreds of meters away from this. So all around, in terms of recruitment, in terms of military capabilities, in terms of internal organizational restructuring, in terms of funding, in terms of maintaining this is a critical element, maintaining the social support. Right, the support of Lebanese Shiites, that has often acted, that has long acted against, as Hezbollah's shield against Lebanese governmental attempts to restrain or disarm the group. That's also underway. They're now, they brought people to Nasrallah's funeral. They swept the municipal elections. They had the Sayyid's Generation scouting event where they brought, the Mahdi scouts, 75,000 youngsters just to the scouting event. And now they're preparing for the May 2026 parliamentary elections, which are really around the corner. If they're able to either maintain their parliamentary numbers or grow them, and grow their votes, their absolute number of votes, then they've secured their future, and that's what they're aiming. So they're all around rebuilding, and again, at a pace that, Lebanon's not doing anything, and where the Israelis are doing something, it's only acting as speed bumps that are not ultimately stopping the race towards this total holistic regeneration.
Bill, you have a quick question for David.
Yeah, David, really quick. On the successor, for potential successors for the chief of staff, You mentioned one person. Are these does Hezbollah have experienced, well seasoned individuals to fill that slot? And how big of a loss is this to Hezbollah?
So it is a big loss. Look, I mean, any one of these guys, Fouad Shukr, when Mughniyeh was killed, when Badreddin was killed, you're losing decades, literally decades, in some of these cases, of organizational experience, building of doctrine, so on and so forth. Now, the first line, right, the first generation is not entirely wiped out. We have Talal Ahmiye, who has been elusive and, who's floated as one of the successors of Badreddin in 2016 when he was killed. Is Fouad Shukr and Talal Ahmiye. He keeps going into this, bridesmaid and never the bride position, it would seem, right? Because every time you expect him, right, Shukr is killed, you think, oh, Ahmiye is on deck. Turns out Tabatabai was on deck, right? Now it seems like if Tabatabai was cooperating with Muhammad Haidar most closely, then perhaps Muhammad Haidar may be on deck. So they still have experience. And, look, how much of this is exaggeration? Because Hezbollah can't appear weak. They need to maintain an image of strength domestically. So you have to take any of these statements that come out of their leadership with a grain of salt. But what Naim Qasem has said repeatedly...
30 seconds, David.
Yeah. Is that the second line, the second generation, have absorbed this experience from the first generation. And speaking of Naim Qasem, I don't underestimate the man, right? This is a man who is the right man for the right time for Hezbollah, because what Hezbollah needs right now is to lay low, to survive to fight another day. And this nerd, mousy, soft-spoken, underestimated nerd is exactly the type of person that, that Hezbollah needs right now to do that, to lay low, to absorb the blows, to act pragmatically and come out on the other end when international attention is moved away, when there's pressure on Israel to stop its military operations, when the Lebanese have forgotten about the Hezbollah, renormalized Hezbollah's arms, for him to be in the right position, to put Hezbollah in the right position to fully regenerate one day.
David Daoud and Bill Rajo, I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.